It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, because the Steelers just beat the Colts down at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. They forced about 72 turnovers, and they did what they had to do to somehow remain atop the AFC North. Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. Welcome into Kabali and Mac. You can see him live down there on the North Shore after exiting the locker room. He's back in the press box. Correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Kabali. Yeah, we got you. Can you hear me?
Already having issues.
What's wrong? Y'all good? No? You good? He's gone, just like that. One bite of pizza, and he's gone. Thanks to each and every one of Yins. Good afternoon, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. You can follow us on Kabali and or on social media at Kabali and Mac. What are you doing?
Internet problems, man. Internet problems.
Oh, internet problems. Well, before I lose you again.
It's not the best wireless here at the shore.
Oh. Hold on. Let me crack the old Victory IC light here.
Funny you should say that. I was talking to your boy Mason Rudolph in the locker room. He goes, "What are you drinking tonight?" I'm like, "I don't know. I've been drinking some Moscow Mules lately." He goes, "That's no good." And Will Howard goes, "He drinks IC Light." I'm like, "Oh, you watched the program."
That's right. Will Howard's on top of it. So the Steelers pull it off against the Colts in a game that, for the first 20 minutes or so, kaboom, felt like it was going to be the beginning of the end of the season, spiraling the drain. Felt like it was going to be exactly what we thought it was going to be. When we talked about it on Friday, we both predicted Colts wins because the way the Steelers defense has performed or not performed the last few weeks, felt like going up against the top offense in the league, we were just going to get more of the same. But after the first 20 minutes, when I want to say at one point, the Colts had outgained the Steelers like 132-9. And then the turnovers started, and the turnovers kept coming. Six takeaways by the Steelers. First time they've done that in a game in 15 years. Last time was 2010 against the Tennessee Titans. This is what this team does, Mark. When the defense shows up and forces turnovers, they win. They are now 5-0 when not losing the turnover battle in any given game.
Yeah, I mean, five turnovers, and that's the ball game, right? Honestly, that's what it is. Watts strip sack pretty much turned the tide of that game early on, or at least in what early second quarter. And as long as they keep being able to force fumbles, interceptions, they were able to, I don't know, I don't even know if I want to say stop the run more than Colts just seem not interested in running a lot. Maybe
they got away from it very quickly and very quickly. Easily.
I thought they'd be banging, but it wasn't. They wanted Danny Dimes. And I said this numerous places I've talked to was, if you want to try to win this game, you put the ball in Danny Dimes' hands and hope it doesn't turn into that Giant Eagle promotion yesterday where they had to give away $1 million because so many people brought pennies in. Danny Dimes to Danny Pennies.
Yeah, he did not have a good day. Daniel Jones ends up 31 of 50 for just the lone touchdown pass and three picks. He also fumbled twice. He was sacked five times. You mentioned Jonathan Taylor, 14 carries for just 45 yards. And Tyler Warren, who we talked about coming into this game, five catches but only 26 yards. Those were the three they had to limit, and they limited all three of them. I don't know what the game plan was that Shane Steichen devised coming into this thing.
I thought he owned Mike Tomlin.
What about Mike Tomlin?
I thought he owned Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I don't.
What happened? Wait.
I don't know if he tried to get too cute. I don't know if he tried to do too much. Again, the first quarter of this game, it was working for Indy. Like, guys were open. Jones had time, but once the Steelers started to get home on the pass rush and started covering things in the secondary, that's when it took a turn because he wasn't able to get rid of the ball as quickly, and it forced him into either mistakes or turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was definitely the pressure came because he did have to hold the ball a little bit longer. I don't know if that was based on how Daniel Jones throws the ball or if it's based on what he was seeing there. But, hey, we talk about not making adjustments from this defense, and that's been Tomlin's bugaboo.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, you throw Kyle Duggar in after a walkthrough, and you throw Jalen Ramsey. Like I told you, I would love to see him back at safety right now. And after how he performed today, I don't see how you take him out there. It's two absolutely monstrous moves they made. They could have played Thornhill, but they didn't. You saw Joey Porter making some plays here, and I think a lot of that had to do with the back end, and obviously the front. I don't know if you want to call it the front five, front seven, even with Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen, just absolutely dominant. I mean, they might have one or two runs past 10 yards, but nothing compared to the 9.5 yards per carry Jonathan Taylor was averaging over the past handful of games.
His longest run was only 9 yards. They didn't even get a double-digit run. So they shut down the run. Again, the Colts got away from it and had to get away from it late. I understand that. But you talk about the second quarter, third quarter, when it was still a two-possession game, and very quickly they decided that they just weren't going to feed Jonathan Taylor. And I would think that, especially after watching last week and what the Packers did with Tucker Kraft in the flat, that you would have seen either Warren or Taylor, both of them, catching little quick hitters and dump-offs out in the flat. They either weren't there or they didn't devise them into the game plan for some reason.
You got to give the Steelers credit, too, because like you said, after that first quarter, it could have went downhill really quickly. And it did.
It was real close. The Boo Birds were out. Everybody was pissed.
First two series. But I think a lot of that had to do with the Watts fumble, right? Sack fumble. Then that seemed to turn the tide a little bit there. Hey, the Steelers weren't interested in running the ball either, which didn't make much sense to me either. But they just did enough to win. It's okay to have a not great performance offensively and still be able to beat the best team in the AFC. I mean, I think you'll take that.
I mean, if you would have told me that the Steelers would score 27 points today, I would have said, probably not enough against the Colts. But they got 17 of them in the second quarter, and from that point forward felt like they were in control the entire way. Even when the Colts were, you know, finding guys wide open against loose coverages late in the game in the fourth quarter, getting some garbage points and very nearly getting back into the ball game, it still wasn't to the point where you felt like the Colts offense was going to be able to do whatever they wanted.
Man, this should be a lesson to all of us, Mac. You know, maybe just not the world is falling over. The world is imploding every time they have a bad game. Let's see.
Well,
let's wait till how this rolls out here. Now, if they were lost today, then maybe the world is collapsing on top of themselves. Now, let's think of this in the present. Now, if they go out to Los Angeles and struggle, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're a terrible team. You happen to see what Joe Flacco did today. Put up five bills, man. Like five bills. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback. And they should have won that game. And last week they played a good 32 minutes, whatever it is, 33 minutes of defense before it got away from them. So are they the greatest team in the world? No. But I think they still are a formidable team. I mean, you're just not going to hand it over to the Baltimore Ravens right now. And that's what this shows to me right here.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. There's still been some really bad performances throughout the course of this year that make you wonder when the bottom could drop out. And during the first quarter of this game, it didn't look so hot. But I understand you build the team around getting to the quarterback and forcing mistakes and turnovers, and that's how you build it. You're going to have games where if you don't force mistakes out of a quarterback or you don't force turnovers, you're going to be in a bad spot. But that's the way they've built this defense. And when they do get home and they do make those plays, it completely flips the entire dynamic of a game to where they feel like they're totally in control. Because the turnovers, as we saw against New England earlier this year, as we saw today, they do start to snowball. Once they start to get home, and maybe this has something to do with the mentality thing that Cam Hayward was talking about last week after the loss to Green Bay. But once they start to smell blood in the water, they really start to make things happen. And maybe if they could just walk into games with that mentality, it would help them a whole hell of a lot.
You know, this offensive line that they faced today was pretty stout, and they made them look foolish at times. Watt made them look foolish at times. I mean, weren't you the one that wanted to trade Alex Highsmith the other day?
Who said that?
Well, I got a text that didn't Mac want to trade Highsmith the other day? I'm like, probably.
Who said to trade Alex Highsmith?
I thought you did. Let's go back into the film.
The film. No, I never said to trade Alex Highsmith.
I mean, he shows what he was able to do, and he wasn't 100% after hurt his knees. What I like about this game is all those question marks we were all questioning is T.J. Watt, Wash, Alex Highsmith is a bum. Can Tomlin, T.A. make adjustments? All seem to come to the head, and everything, mind you, after the first quarter, seemed to hit the stride that they stepped up into that. Can Kyle Duggar be a guy that's they trust? Yeah. Can Jalen Ramsey's move? All of a sudden, people were questioning his ability at 30 years old. That's what I like about this game more than anything else, is those people that you had question marks about showed up big.
Yeah. Again, once they started to smell blood in the water, it all started with the TJ strip sack and recovery. And from there, it just snowballed out of control for Indy. And I don't know what it was. Like you said, that's a good offensive line. And the Steelers got after him all day. And you want to talk about coaching adjustments. The Colts never adjusted to the Steelers' pass rush being in their face all day. They never got rid of the ball quickly. It looked like Daniel Jones was taking forever to get rid of the football. Again, I don't know if that's great coverage downfield, scheme, or a little bit of both. But point being, once it started going for the Steelers' defense, it just took off. And again, I go back to what Cam had to say last weekend after the loss to Green Bay when he was like, you know, a couple things go against us and guys put their heads down. It's the exact opposite this week. Things start to go well, and everybody's flying high, and everybody starts to make plays.
Another one was in my last rant. You got to throw Joey Porter in there. Yeah, what are you going to do with Jody Porter? He stinks. Well, he had like 8 tackles, a sack, and a key interception. He probably left a couple plays out there, too, so he stepped up big. By the way, if he didn't step up big, maybe his dad would have beat the living crap out of him. So he probably did the right thing at that point right there. You know, he even said after the game, yeah, my dad's been on me all week. Saying, like basically, well,
did you see Joey in the box after Joey Jr. happy. Got the pick?
I have to understand Joey and Clark Hagen's late Clark Hagen's son used to, you know, ride like big wheels in the locker room and stuff like that back in 2005 season.
Yeah,
so he knows all those guys, and apparently some of them were chirping at the players pregame.
Like, some of the older guys, some of the Super Bowl 40 guys.
And the funny thing is Hayward says, yeah, I played with most of those guys. Yes, you did.
He did. I saw Dick LeBeau was in the building. That's always a good vibe.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was an overall good game. Now, what the key is now is you know that they can able to perform like this. Now, what do we have to talk about? This roller coaster they always talk about.
Right.
We can't have that step back next week. Now, you have to continuously either play even or get better. You can't have this big fall off again next year. Next week, then you're right back at square one, and everything comes to rushing to the forefront right now. Maybe they finally figured it out with Ramsey and Duggar. Maybe that is what brings it all together at safety. Maybe,
and if that's the case, then, hey, you feel good about what you saw today and rolling it forward into the future. I thought it was interesting. I didn't get to see Aaron Rodgers' post-game media availability yet, but apparently he was asked a question about something and responded in talking about how Jalen Ramsey talked to the group last night and gave the kind of talk that Rodgers said anyway he could see had an effect on everybody in the room. So, you know, we talked the other day about how Rodgers has lent a sort of calmness to the offense, even when they struggle. And he's kind of helped flatten out the hills and the valleys and avoid the roller coaster, as he calls it. I see Ramsey being that extension on defense. I get it. Cam Hayward's a leader. He's been around here forever. I get it. TJ Watt's a leader, but we know he doesn't talk a lot. I get it. There's other guys around who are experienced and been around the team a long time. But if Ramsey's going to be that guy, I like that because he's a guy who's also, he's not just talking the talk. He has walked the walk really since he walked in to the Steelers locker room. He's come up with big plays. You very rarely look at him and go, oh, he's wildly out of position or, oh, he missed a tackle. Ramsey has become that dude. It's just funny to me that they bring in Rodgers and Ramsey in the offseason, two guys with a ton of experience who've won rings elsewhere. We've talked about that before, too. Won rings elsewhere and know when to say or do the right thing to sort of right the ship when it's starting to list just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, as for Ramsey, most of these guys grew up or were playing against Ramsey for the past 10 years and know what he's all about, at least athletically and physically on the field. And that goes a long way, of, you know, even if he's only been around for a couple months. They know what this guy's all about because they've watched him. They covered him. They followed him all these years. The same with Aaron Rodgers. Both of these guys were 3 years old with Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think you could just bring in anybody in and set them up in front of the group and they can have that same effect. I think it's special guys like a Ramsey and a Rodgers as well. And those are, I mean, Rodgers knows how to speak to the group. I've never really heard Ramsey really speak at length. He's somewhat reserved to us. So I imagine when he gets amongst his peers, he can, you know, put together the words to get those guys' attention.
Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. You need to get some work done to maybe, I don't know, boost the curb appeal on the outside of the house, freshen things up, a new look on the inside of the house, whatever it may be, interior, exterior. They can do commercial and industrial painting as well. They'll do the drywall repair. They do all of it, and they do a great job. Get a hold of them today. Higgins Professional Painting, 412-344-0480. Or check them out online, higginsprofessional.com. They'll get out and get you a free estimate. We appreciate them supporting the show. So they limit the best offense in the league. They put up 27 points themselves. And the team that they got absolutely dominated by in the second half last week, the Packers, goes back home and loses to the Carolina Panthers. This league makes no sense, Kaboom. It makes no sense.
And yet we will sit here and complain at every single loss they have. It's like, they should win this game. They should win this game. No, it's the NFL. Anything can happen. They say that for a reason, not just because it makes for a, you know, good print or a good headline. Anything does, and you normally does happen. So, I mean, look at the Lions. Did they lose today too?
I think they did, yeah. I think they lost to the Vikings in Detroit. So, yeah, there were a number of wild games today.
You weren't expecting that. I mean, the Chargers struggled with Tennessee, who we know is an awful team. Yep. New England struggled with Atlanta, too, with only win by one.
Did you see the end of the Bears-Bengals game yet?
I saw. I mean, that's, you know, the Bengals being the Bengals, right?
Yeah, but that was just bananas. What I did think was interesting, back to the Steelers, is – if you also would have told me that DK Metcalf caught just two passes on four targets for 6 yards, I'd have been like, oh, hell, they're screwed. Calvin Austin had a big day, 5 for 56. Darnell Washington, 4 for 43 after a bad drop early. Kenny G, 4 catches. Freiermuth, another good day, 3 catches on 4 targets, including the touchdown. Jonnu added 3 catches after an ugly early drop. So the ball once again gets spread around all over the field. And it's just, you put Darnell Washington on a corner, it's just not fair.
I think sometimes in this game you saw that they get a little bit too fascinated with him and his size inside the 2-yard line. I mean, you do got a 235-pound running back that has quads the size of tree trunks. You know, you're allowed to give him the ball at times, too. So I think there's a couple times they should have given to him. I mean, the offense didn't play. They played well enough to win.
Yeah.
They didn't light anything up. I mean, they couldn't run the ball.
They were average. They took advantage of short fields. And
they averaged 1.7 yards per carry. I mean,
yeah. They took advantage of the short fields. They only averaged, man, I don't know, 5.8 yards per completion, I think.
Once again, I'm not worried about that because if they probably needed to turn it up some and get some more yards and have long fields, they probably would have, I think, considering how this defense was playing. I don't think they were playing very well. So I'm not too worried about them. You have to be much more happier with what the defense was able to do in this game. And not only that, it's coming off, like I said, that slow beginning where you were Boo Birds after the first series, second series, and maybe third series. Thinking, this could be ugly. The escalator loser was getting revved up already. Steelers version of it. But, hey, one little play and it turned the turn. Turn the tide.
My, how the tables have turned. The turntables have, yeah. I know what else I wanted to point out. Peyton Wilson, massive. You mentioned him earlier.
One other one you were questioning.
I think everybody was questioning Peyton Wilson through the first 8 weeks, weren't we? Massive game just when he had to. Long overdue.
That's the stuff you saw from him in training camp and preseason where you're like, yeah, this guy is – he's different, man. He's good. That's the stuff you saw here today. And it just hasn't been around. But sorry, Cole Holcomb. You might have had the diarrhea or something. I don't know what was wrong with you. But I don't know if I want to put you back in there right now. After, 13 tackles, interception, huge interception. I mean, come on.
14 tackles for what it's worth, two pass breakups, the INT as well. Well, because Cole Holcomb had the poops. Is that it?
I have no idea. I mean, for him to be sick for 3 days, there had to be something significantly had an issue with him. So,
but yeah.
Brandon Echols
had a great game. Ramsey had another solid game.
I don't know what their plan was to Slay because he kept coming in and out after he hurt his hand. But if you do it like a three-man type of rotation there with Slay, Porter, Echols, I think that's not bad. You can get away with that, especially if you have those two safeties. I don't think Thornhill played at all, right?
I'd have to go back. I didn't look at snap counts yet. Those aren't out, but he didn't have any stats on defense for what it's worth, and I don't remember seeing him on the field. So, you know what? On a day when Joey Porter Jr. plays well, and he did, on a day when Brandon Echols plays well, nothing against Slay, but I don't even know if you need to rotate him in all that much other than to just have a guy come in nickel and maybe, some rotational snaps. But, nothing against Darius Slay, but he hasn't been the big play Slay that he was, at the peak of his career to this point. We're halfway through the season now. And that's the other thing. We're halfway through the season now. This team is 5-3. They're at the top of the division. There's a lot of problems that we've seen when things don't go well. But if you would have told me beginning of the year, 5-3 after a win at home against the Colts, I'd have signed up for that.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted. Cam Little just set the NFL record, kicking a 68-yard field goal for the Jaguars.
Jesus.
He probably could have made it by another 7 to 8 yards. Wow.
I'm sure that's a scintillating game right now, the Raiders and the Jags.
I don't know, but a 68-yard field goal is pretty significant. Raiders are up 20-3. Oh, that's the Rams. My fault.
I was going to say.
6-3 Vegas. 6-3. Vegas.
I know our guy Jersey Jerry is like a Trevor Lawrence touchdown away from winning a massive, massive bet.
Yeah, I might have bet today, and I was going to lose. But I forgot to hit send. I thought I hit send, but I apparently didn't go through. Lucky me.
What were you going to bet?
I can't tell you that.
Why not?
Might be some insider info.
What? Insider trading.
I just thought that Jalen Warren was going to run more than he did.
He did not have a big day. So it's a good thing you didn't bet that. Good job by you.
Well, it's because the internet wasn't working, so... I thought it did.
Why is it? This is an NFL stadium, for God's sake. We still can't get decent grass or decent internet?
There's 7,000 people in the press box. That's why. Once people start leaving, then it opens up more.
Right, but can't they be prepared for that?
Like, we're prepared for it, but that's why you can never shut your computer. You know how when you shut your computer, like you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Hits the internet off, then somebody else can jump in or have better connection. You have to always leave it open. I figured that out.
It's just first the grass, now the internet. If you're looking for a place to watch Sunday night football tonight, or maybe Monday night football tomorrow, Archie's on Carson, the best place to do it. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports, including 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday nights. That is not an Archie's pizza.
That's not Archie's pizza. That's a press box pizza.
Yeah, they've got great pizza at Archie's, though. Burgers, sandwiches, all of it, plus ice cold iron. You can get it on draft. It's great out of a can, though, after a victory. But get to Archie's. We appreciate Arch supporting the show right down there on Carson. And any night of the week, best time to go to Archie's. So, 5-3. I said 5-3. And still atop the division. The way the schedule lines out now, I don't know if you're necessarily feeling as great as you were 3 weeks ago, but you feel okay, right? Like Sunday night football in LA, it's never a home crowd in LA for the home team. I don't know if that matters or not, but you saw the Chargers, Joe Alt got carted off. Their offensive line is just shredded, just decimated. Then you get the Bengals again, a trip to Chicago before you get Buffalo at home. You win three of these next four, that might be asking a little too much, but you win three of these next four, now we're talking 8-4 headed into the stretch run when you've still got the Ravens twice.
Here we go again. You're counting your chickens before they're hatched.
I'm not counting any chickens. I'm just pointing out the schedule.
Oh, no. I mean, if there were losses, I'd be like, oh, they could have been going 4-17 this year. Fire Tomlin. I mean, can we just play it one game at a time? If they play well next week, they'll win. If they don't, they lose. I mean, it's not that difficult.
That's boring. Who wants to do that?
It's boring. Now you're going to say, well, they don't play well in Cleveland, so they're going to lose that game. But, you know, Flacco, he's growing well, but, you know, they've
been in Cincinnati. But good job.
I'm talking about after the LA game. Well, he plays well, but they're playing at home. The bottom line is if they keep playing like they do, not worry about themselves, that stuff, I think, takes care of themselves.
But here's the thing,
Justine
for me.
Justine has it right. Mac had him at 6-11. Now he has him at 12-5. You're exactly right.
When did I say 6-11? When did I say that?
Oh, the internet doesn't lie.
I don't think I ever put that on the internet, but whatever. No, I don't have him 12-5. I'm just saying this. We're gonna look back on this game, and I think regardless of what had happened, if they would have come into this Indy game and maybe they played the whole thing like they did the first quarter and got run out of the building and lost, or ended up doing what they did, anywhere on the spectrum in between, this game was going to be pivotal to this season, I think. Because had it gone bad, they would have had a three-game losing streak. You're spiraling the drain as you head out on the road for a primetime game out west. They win, and instead, everybody is able to exhale after 3 weeks of playing like crap.
But they don't. But they're not going to. You're going to have the moaners, bitchers, complainers out there. We should play a game. What are we going to bitch about this week?
Probably the offense. No, I don't know what we'll bitch
Why
about.
Why doesn't Arnie Smith like to run the ball? I'm just trying to think what it is. They almost lost that game in the end. It was just, I don't know. There's going to be something to complain about.
Oh, yeah. There's always something to improve on.
You know what? I'm just trying to. I mean, penalties weren't bad. Offensive line wasn't bad. Donnie Smith dropped the ball.
Sayamalu might be out for a while.
I was shocked he came back for this one.
He did, and left in the second half. I do think. Look, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer in a game that you win against the best offense in the league. But there could be questions that you still have about why weren't we able to run against this team? Why weren't we able to be a little more effective on offense? There were some big drops early on.
Even if this is the only time this year you could say that, don't they earn a pass where they're just average? I mean, what other games did they look like? I mean, earn a pass where their offense looked like crap. I mean,
no, I think you got to be happy that they won this game despite the offense not looking great at times.
Would you say
it was still enough offense that they put up 27? So, honestly, I don't have anything to complain about. I don't.
There will be. But I'm thinking there's going to be something to complain about. And I would say probably it's easily said that this is probably the worst offensive performance they've had this year. But that doesn't mean it's bad.
I mean, they still
make sense.
Do you remember a couple years ago how ecstatic we would have been for about a two-month period had they scored 27 points in a game? Yeah. We were dying for 27 points a couple years ago.
I mean, they even turned those three turnovers into 21 points, right? No, four turnovers. I think they scored 24 points off of turnovers, right? Something like that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm not quite sure.
I think it's great that you got the turnovers, and I think it's great that you were able to turn them into points.
Yeah. So I think the bottom line is, Mac, it's just – way too early to determine this team. This team could move forward.
We're halfway through the season, Mark.
I know, and it's still too early. They could turn into a really good team. They can turn into a crap team, or they could just be old even Steven the rest of the way. I don't know where they're at right now. When people say, hey, what do they look like this week? I'm like, I have no idea.
Well,
I have no idea who's going to show up. No clue.
I think – When both sides of the ball show up and play to their full capability, they are an 11-win team. But how often have we seen that happen? I mean, the Minnesota game. Is that the Cleveland game?
Well,
I mean, it's only happened a couple times to this point. Maybe. It's only happened two or three times, though, this year, which is the point. So when they play a complete game, I think they can beat almost anybody. I'd still question like the Bills or the Chiefs. But I think
Bills are
what?
Oh, they're beating the Chiefs right now. I'm trying to find the score here. 21-10. So the Chiefs, the Chiefs are just going to go to the Super Bowl. Don't look very good against Buffalo right now.
You understand reactions change based on what happens in games, right?
You can reactions change, but you should.
That's how it works as fans.
Yeah, but
like
you should realize
when we react to it, then another thing happens and we react
as,
to it.
It's not as bad as it is. It's not as good as it is.
Thank you, Aaron Rodgers.
Did he say that?
No, remember he talked about the roller coaster a couple weeks ago.
Well, everybody talks about the roller coaster now. I'm saying these next handful of games before you get to that Baltimore game, I think will determine if it's a playoff caliber division winning team or not.
Oh, I think they're a playoff caliber team.
Okay, division winning team.
I think anything that happens between now and December is not going to tell you if they can win the division or not. All that happens between now and December for this team and the Ravens is they both get to play to that point. And you both get to see, okay, what are they good at? What are they not good at? And then what happens in December? They play each other twice. Well, I guess technically into January, too. Last 5 weeks, they play each other twice. And that's when we find out which one is the division winner and which one is just the playoff team. But between now and then, I don't know if you learn any more about this team. I mean, obviously different pieces of the team, sure. But I think right now you look at them and you say, okay, this is a 9-10 win team. When they do everything right up to their capabilities on both sides of the ball, they could win 11, and they look like a division-winning team. But how often are they capable of doing that and putting it all together in one singular game? Again, New England, Cleveland, you could argue that's it really, right? Because this week they didn't necessarily put it all together. They got the win, but the offense wasn't as good as it's been multiple times this season.
Debbie Downer, you like to be Debbie Downer.
Who's being a Debbie Downer? I just said when they play up to their capabilities, they can win 11 games and they can win the division.
What if the Duggar Ramsey thing was the elixir, was the perfect key to turn to unlock the potential of this defense? We don't know. Maybe it
then
is.
That's
maybe
great. Then I think what you see over the next few weeks is they win 3 of the next 4. And like I said, everything's going well as you're leading up to the first of the 2 Baltimore games in the final 5 weeks. But that's my point is, you were talking about Baltimore. I think we don't know which one of these teams is the division winner until we see them play each other.
I tell you one thing, Baltimore's strength of victory is not very good, and the Steelers are like 4th best in the league. It's not like Baltimore's been beating some very good teams.
I mean, if it gets to that tiebreaker, that's something to think about.
Well, right now, I mean, the conference is tiebreaker. I mean, the division record's number 1.
Head-to-head.
Fully won, but the conference is 2-3, Baltimore. It's only 2-3. Steelers are 4-1, but the strength of victory, I mean, there's only 9 teams worse than Baltimore. Steelers are right at 500, which is, you know, top 10 in the league. Top 10 in the league. So,
thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. We appreciate them. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they will take care of you. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. The entire team ready to help you sell your home, find the perfect home to move into, and anything and everything in between. They'll take care of you, the Dan Heck team, HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate them. A couple interesting comments here that I want to get to. Kyle on YouTube, today's defense squashes Thursday's Baltimore defense. Or maybe he means Baltimore's off. I don't know. Steelers defense at its best, Mark, against the Ravens offense at its best.
Yeah, I don't know about the word squash, but I think it would be favored Steelers-wise because I'm still not a big fan of the Ravens' outside corners, and outside weapons. And at least you saw today they have the ability to slow down a good tight end if you get Wilson and the two safeties playing like they do. And they've always had success keeping Lamar in the pocket, and if they're stopped to run like they stopped Jonathan Taylor and the Derrick Henry, it seems like he's not fully up to speed yet.
Right.
I won't say crush, but I would say advantage Steelers at this point. If you have the Steelers' best performance against the Ravens' best performance, I think that's fair to say.
Ray says, "I ain't never happy. I'm happy, Ray.
You are.
Drinking my IC Light.
I agree with Ray.
I'm sitting here." Plotting out the schedule, talking about how they're going to be 8-4 if they win 3 of the next 4. About then it's about the last 5, and it all comes down to the 2 games against the Ravens. I'm happy, man. I'm more than happy. I just, you know, Kaboom mentioned people are going to complain about things, so I brought up some of the things people may bitch about.
They're definitely going to complain. Shane Steichen runs circles around Mike Tomlin. Terrell Austin. I mean, this
well, has in the past. He didn't today.
This had to feel good for everybody. Even though, we block out the outside noise. No, you don't.
No, they knew.
No, you don't.
They knew that people were turning against them, and that had they lost today, and had it been another particularly poor defensive effort, people were going to be ready to just pitchfork and torch their way to the front gates of the 3400 South Water Street.
Maybe Colts are just not as good as we thought they were.
I think that's a big part of it. And I don't want to take anything away from the Steelers and what they did today. I think Jonathan Taylor is an MVP caliber running back. I think Tyler Warren is going to be in a year or two, one of the best two or three tight ends in the league. I think they got a good receiving core. I think they got some good young guys on defense, but you could make the argument of who have they played, right? Like,
either and where they played them,
right?
4 like in a dome, had 2 in LA, and 1 against the worst team in the league.
Exactly. So when we had Kevin Bowen on from Indy the other day, I pointed it out. I mean, they'd played the Dolphins, the Titans twice, the Cardinals, the Raiders. So it wasn't the most difficult schedule to this point.
No.
Oh, I'm not saying the Colts are bad. No. I'm just saying maybe they weren't 7-1 good when they walked in. And again, I'm not taking anything away from what the Steelers did to them today, because they showed that when you absolutely dominate a team, turnover-wise, you're going to have a really good chance to win that game.
What did we hear from his name, Kevin, on Friday?
Yeah. He wasn't really worried.
He wasn't worried. It was like Daniel Jones has proved everything. This offense has proved everything. Which you don't seem to tell yourself this is the NFL. And it can humble you really, really quickly. And I think they might have got a little bit of a humble pie today. I mean, just like the Steelers got humble pie in Cincinnati. Just like, you know, Kansas City looks like they're getting humbled a little bit today in Buffalo. This tends to happen. It doesn't mean you're a bad team.
No.
I'm just curious now for the Steelers is if they can now live up to what they put on tape today. Obviously, you can't expect 5 turnovers.
You can't do 5 or 6 turnovers every week.
But you hope the offense will then play better to equal that out somehow.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's no coincidence that when they win the turnover battle, they win games. I mean, that's true for most of the NFL, right? I mean, I don't know what the exact number is, but I'd guess winning percentage for teams in the NFL when they win the turnover battle is probably like 85% or something like that. You win the turnover battle, you're going to win the game. So it just shows how valuable it is to them to create those turnovers, though, and why they have to continue to do things like get creative with their pressures, actually cover well in the back of the secondary, which, again, you pointed out, Ramsey and Duggar today did that. If they found a formula today, and I don't just mean via turnovers, but in how they force teams into those turnovers and those mistakes, then yeah, there's lots of reasons to feel good going forward.
But they could just be right back to normal next week.
We'll see. Important point by Carroll. The offense might have scored as many points, but they possessed the ball for more time, which she liked. Still lost the time of possession battle against the Colts, but I think they were up over 28 minutes.
It's been pretty cool, pretty impressive, very low key, is the clock management of Tomlin. I mean, it seems like they're just letting them just run off the clock here in the end. It wasn't just today. There's a couple other games like that too, that you're just letting it run out, so you have no chance to win, but you're picking up some yards. It just seems like that has not been an issue at all this year. Just time management in general.
I'm trying to think. No, I haven't had any. I'm trying to think back. Not any glaring errors that I can think of. I think for the most part, they've handled that well. Yeah. They just do need to get back onto the side of, like, there was a series in the fourth quarter where they tried to get a little too cute. It was after another Jones. It was after the fumble that Highsmith forced in Colts.
The guy you wanted traded, yeah, okay.
I never said I wanted him traded. But Highsmith forces that fumble, and they get the ball, and they tried to get a little too cute. Some sideways passes, and, like, I know you were only averaging 2 yards a carry. Just turn around and hand it off a few times and let Boz kick a field goal.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple instances Aaron wasn't happy with some of the routes run that he made his – I mean, look at the first play of the game. My Lord, I could have caught that one from Johnny Smith, let it get through his fingers. There's a Calvin Austin play where he didn't turn around quick enough. There's a handful of those plays. There's a handful of plays where Rodgers didn't hit where he needed to go, and that's been few and far between. So there's room left for improvement. Like I said, the difference now is you got a week. You got to go to L.A. where you don't play well on the West Coast, but you do play well against the Chargers in L.A., and you got to not even equal the performance. You have to win. Then come back, and you're feeling good about it. Because if you lay another egg, man, you're right back where you started from.
Yeah, yeah. They've got to, and again, it doesn't have to be 5 or 6 turnovers, but just force the opposing quarterback into some of those key mistakes at just the right time.
And this is against a team that turned the ball over like four times all year.
Four. Yeah.
All year. And they gave up five.
Six, right?
Six.
I thought it was six turnovers. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that part of the game, you couldn't ask for anything more. One more quick note, and then we'll wrap it up. Actually, first, I want to thank Impact HVAC for supporting the show, too. They've been great since the very beginning. Get that furnace checked up because it's going to get chilly out there. At Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. That furnace checkup will go from $79.99 down to $39.99 if you donate a new kids article of clothing or kids toy that they will then make sure gets in the hands of the Foster Love Project just in time for the holidays for families hosting foster kids. Impact HVAC PGH, message them there on Facebook or give them a call, 412-297-1852. Roman Wilson. Like the fact that he's getting the ball thrown to him. I'm a big fan of that. Roman Wilson, don't try to hurdle people when all we got to do is run out the clock.
He's trying to do too much right there. I mean, yeah. Do you blame a guy that's trying to do too much? He's finally getting his opportunity.
I get it. He's excited. He's
doing everything. That's where you say, good job, kid. Never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Type of thing. But it worked 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati, so that's probably why. He did. I'm sure Zach Cassani will sit him down and say, yo, we don't need this. Stick your head down. Make sure you don't turn the ball over in that situation. Let's hope that that doesn't have a negative effect on him because he has had that upward trend to actually being a player. Let's see what happens here in the next 2 days, too. They're going to acquire somebody.
I really like the connection that Rodgers has developed with Austin. Like, He seems to feel like he can put the ball anywhere near Austin and he'll make the catch and then has the ability to make something happen with it after the catch. I just don't know. I like Calvin Austin a lot. I just think Calvin Austin could be, if that's your wide receiver three, that's a whole different world of possibilities than somebody else is your two and maybe Austin is your three. I don't know if they want to spend what it takes to go out and get somebody like that, though, Jacoby Myers, whoever it might be.
I'm telling you, if there's somebody available out there, Omar's shown that he's going to go get him. I mean, Duggar, we're like, okay, we went over that. Basically got him for free, and look at the impact he's had right away. Wait till he knows where, you know, where the hot metal bridge is, actually. Oh.
Just tell him not to be careful and not get his car sideswiped before driving over the hot metal bridge.
Sideswipe, it was front end smash, take off.
How'd the new truck ride down in the North Shore this morning?
We're riding cool. I don't know. I got to go over to the pop show here in about an hour and a half, and I don't know where I'm going to park the sucker at.
Yeah, no. Just one of those streets downtown near the KDK building.
I usually do the.
You can't park in that traffic circle.
I just pull halfway in and halfway out.
And then somebody hits you, and then your brand new truck is ruined right out of the gate. Sorry, your certified pre-owned truck.
Yeah, I don't have back money. It's not new.
Sorry about that. All right, let's wrap it up for now. You get over to the Pomp Show. We'll watch it tonight. We'll look for the story. What?
I should have to do some work first.
Yeah, you should probably write a story. We'll keep an eye out for that.
I got to do some work.
Finish your piece of pizza.
I don't think I'm going to eat it now. It's cold.
It doesn't look too good now. And we will do this again Tuesday morning ahead of the Mike Tomlin press conference, maybe. I don't know. We'll figure out a time. We'll get together. We'll talk to you soon. We appreciate all the support here on Cabalion Mac. Have a great Sunday.